Welcome to the Countdown Podcast and our review of The Last Night in Soho. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for Edgar Wright's newest film, one of my favorite filmmakers, if not my favorite filmmaker.
Oh, he's definitely your favorite.
Working today. He directed it and he co-wrote the screenplay with Christy Wilson-Cairns, who co-wrote 1917.
Oh, really?
Screenplay. It's produced by Edgar Wright, Neera Park, longtime producing partner, Tim Bevan and Eric Fellner. It stars Thomasin McKenzie, Anna Taylor-Joy, Matt Smith, Michael Ajayo, Terrence Stamp and Diana Rigg in her final screen
role. Was that Diana Rigg?
It was.
I just realized it.
Budget's $43 million, and here's the concerning part. Only taken $8.7 million, having opened this week.
The week before, I believe, in the States. This is being treated as a festival film, if you ask me. We saw it at the part of the British Film Festival.
We did. We got to see it early here in Australia as part of the BIFF 21, and it comes out, I believe, November 19th or 18th around Australia. So we're about to tell you whether or not you should see it here and if you already have the opportunity in other parts of the world. Wayne, what is Last Night in Soho about?
Okay, so it's about Eloise, who is this young, aspiring, wide-eyed fashion designer student who moves from the British countryside to London to attend university. And she's a lovely kid. She has a gift that leaves her haunted by visions of her dead mother. She can actually see her dead mother in the mirror sometimes. That's how it's presented. When she gets to London, gets knocked about a bit by the city, but she's somehow mysteriously able to enter the 1960s when she sleeps at night, where she sees and experiences things that happen to this Anya Taylor-Joy character, Sandy. And from there, the movie goes on, gets a little dark, and
but it's no spoilers.
No spoilers at all.
First part of the review, of course.
Okay.
Cover it? All right. Now, what do the critics have to say before we weigh in on it? Rotten Tomatoes has 249 critics and 75% of them had it judged to be positive with an average rating of 6.9 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Metacritic has a 65 out of 100 based on 54 critics and the cinema score audiences that were polled from an A+ to F scale scored it as a B+.
Ooh, that's good though, yes?
Well, B+ is pretty good, yeah.
Sure.
All right, so that's what everyone else had to say. Wayne, what do you think of Last Night in Soho?
Okay, first of all, gorgeous. I love how it's filmed and how it looks. It is shot in a filter, light, whatever the way it's still, whatever he's using, it looks like a 1970s movie, insofar as it's graininess and the colors and that type of thing. I did not mind the music one bit. I thought it was fantastic, totally suited the film. It's no secret, if you're a long-time listener, that I love the 1960s fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think it's the most stylish period in history. It is a little bit long, however,
I
would say. It did keep me the whole time. The developments, they're interesting, surprising at times. Casting, fantastic. Anya Taylor-Joy, I think she's amazing, what she's doing with it and her performing for as a performance while doing a performance and nailing it. She can sing like a motherfucker.
She certainly can
sing. Did not
sing.
Know that.
Yep.
Thomasina, perfectly cast as well. Wide-eyed, innocent, beautiful, lovely girl. Great scenes of how they mix these two sort of women being in the show, shall we say. And I like that it presents you with an idealism and then kind of destroys it. And it's kind of like this film is saying to you, don't be dragged in by the glamour of a period. Understand what really went down in that period. And that's why it's kind of cool. So, yes, horror elements, which I did not expect.
Yeah, it's described in places as a horrific psychological thriller.
I would go along with that. For you, it's nothing. But if you're watching what you ostensibly find a drama or a thriller, well, drama, I don't know.
I think it's a straight-up psychological thriller.
Yeah.
It does have Edgar Wright sort of genre roots creeping in. There are some moments where they're horrific,
it's
potentially.
Very, horror
it's
elements.
Not scary.
It's not a horror, it's horror elements. But yeah. If you didn't expect it like I didn't, I was like, oh, look at this. So for me, I really liked this film, man. I liked how it looked. And in fact, when it started, I thought, told this to Paul and he said, I'm an idiot. I thought the whole...
Frequently.
I thought the movie was set in the 1960s because the way that the first literally few scenes are shot, it looks like that. And someone told me, no, there was a modern car in there, but I missed it. So to me, I'm like, oh, it's a 1960s period film. And then you see her put on a pair of Beats headphones. I'm like, whoa, what's happening? And that stuckered me in. So I'm like, oh, shit, it's actually present day, but I didn't know. See, well, obviously you won't make the same mistake now, but, you know, that's what...
Wow, there's always going to be that Wayne moment.
There is going to be a Wayne-ish moment. So, Paul, what did you think?
I liked it. I didn't love it. I don't think this is Edgar Wright's strongest film. I think it's more towards the bottom of his filmography.
Do you?
Yeah, I think there's a lot. Almost all of his films are better as far as I'm concerned, with one exception. So perhaps my expectations were too high because I love Edgar Wright films so much. I was looking for a bit more. I think it is too long. It's 116 minutes, this film.
Yeah, he could have got it.
And you feel every minute of it, particularly by, I'd say, the end of the second act. It really does take its time to establish the characters, except... And here's where it drops the ball a bit.
Mm.
It only establishes, really, Eloise and Sandy. Everyone else is kind of, you're just meant to believe that this young guy is so crushing on her hard enough that he'll follow her anywhere in the film. You know what I mean? Like that guy, like, but why? What's his thing? We don't really find out much about him as one example. The Terrence Stamp character, you didn't find out much about him either, although I know that's deliberate for certain reasons.
Totally deliberate, yeah. I didn't bump into that at all. And I take your point. It is definitely about the two girls.
Yeah.
But to me, that's the pull of this. Everything else is supporting, including almost the backdrop. Like, I like the fact that Thomasina cares so much
Eloise.
Sorry, Eloise. cares so much about this woman that we're not quite sure how she's going to.
Well, she's really, really into the 60s because of...
She loves the 60s, yeah, and so she gets to literally
like
appear there.
For exactly. It almost, like, completely so fine. She's already attuned to it. And that kind of stuff she'll get to in spoilers.
Which I believed. I believed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's fine.
That was really cool. Fine. I mean...
As you say, I will agree, the production design's very good. I think the way it separates between or switches between the 60s and the present time is all done very, very well. The lighting's excellent. Some of the cinematography's very good. The editing is top-notch in that we
agree.
See when we're editing in-camera tricks, in-camera sort of
yes,
tricks.
Those things
to get those two characters back and forth is really, really eye-catching and interesting. That first act is primarily where it's at its best, I would say.
Mm.
The second act, it really slowed down for me because once I realized what was going to happen, oh, we're really showing, as you say, the seedy underbelly here, I got bored. I'm like, come on,
Did you pick what was going on?
No, not...
Okay, all
not,
right.
Good. Absolutely not.
Okay, good. So, because that would have been impressive, because I was actually, you know, the developments were surprising when they were supposed to be surprising.
There's a moment in the film where it literally shows you the answer to, like, only about 3 minutes before the reveal happens, I saw that one.
I know, I saw that too. Yeah. I saw that too.
But, so, long story short, it's a good film. I enjoyed it. Was I a little bit disappointed? Yeah. I wanted a bit more. And I have to say, there's some really poor writing towards the end of the film, which just goes nowhere.
Okay.
Which I'll get to.
We'll talk about that in
spoilers. Which brought my score down.
Okay, I would say that on one hand, I actually think this is a very audience-specific film. I think if you're a bit of an arty-farty wanker, which I'm a little bit, I'm not a lot, I'm
Me
a little
too.
Bit that way, right? You will identify and actually just kind of marvel at the enthusiasm at which he shoots these scenes. He's thought about every shot a lot, and he's even using a focus which gives you a bit of more grain in the background, and even the bright colors that are like, you know, the typical 1970s oranges and pinks. 60s. Those things, right? They're still muted, though. They're sort of pastel-ish, but not really quite. Anya Taylor-Joy in it, I loved her performance, and I think that... Because like, the word is not odd-looking.
She herself has said she's odd-looking.
She's unusual because her eyes are so big and this and that, but it would so work in the 60s. Look at Twiggy and shit like that. You know, it's just these... head on a stick kind of thing, but
I don't have the fondness for the 60s that you do, so that probably helped you.
So that's why I mean it's audience specific. I reckon guys like or people like me are going to go, ooh, look at this, but most people are not going to like or care. They're not going to not like it. They're going to care. So I think you're right. It probably won't do that well, but I would be so proud if I was the guy who directed this if I had made it 20 minutes shorter.
Sure. Look, obviously Edgar Wright is a huge talent, and I agree with all those things that you said there. I think the script is where it lacks the most. And
yeah,
said. But we'll get into it, and maybe we should hit the spoiler button now, because this is a film which relies very heavily on spoilers.
Yes.
So do not listen past this part if you have yet to see the film. It's absolutely clearly a recommendation from Wayne.
Totally.
It's also a recommendation from me. You should check this film out. It's worth seeing,
beautiful. I think,
at the theatre and the cinemas. So that's all you need to know if you haven't seen the film yet. But if you have, join us on the side of Jack.
You can't handle the truth.
And the truth is that, well, Wayne loved this one much more than I expected. When
Which
we walked out of that
at.
Theatre, and by the way, we should add, Wayne missed at least 50 minutes of the
film. I did not miss. Okay, check it out, everyone. I took about 4 pisses.
Yes, 4 pisses. In the space of 2 hours. It was quite impressive, sir.
Look, there's clearly some prostate problems and I'll get it checked out, okay? But yes, I did. But I will tell you this, though.
That's a bingo.
When you've seen as many movies as I have, and many of you have, you start to pick when you can take a piss. And I'll tell you when it is. It is always the start of a scene after a big plot development or action sequence. That is when you've got the most time to piss, right? So I run out and I'm looking,
Wayne's Run P app.
Run P app, exactly. I'm the guy, all right? So I'm looking, yeah, trust me. I waited until the scene ended while I was standing by the door. Then when the next scene started, I go and I fucking piss it out. And then I'm back. So yeah, still didn't miss much.
Right, well, we'll get back to the actual
film than my bladder. Go on.
So the mystery, the way it develops is we see Sandy get murdered and Thomason believes that it's Matt Smith's character, Jack, I think his name
in
the film.
Who's Terrence Stamp grown up. She's like, who are the guy?
She believes it's Terrence Stamp grown up, and that Terrence Anderson seems to be wandering around this weird kind of way. And then he says, there's a really great line of dialogue where he basically says, yeah, I looked after all my girls.
Yes.
You know, in a very creepy Terrence Stamp kind of fashion.
Right.
And turns out he was actually a cop back in that day.
He was the good-looking policeman who actually spoke to her as though he was one of the Johns. And he's the only one who didn't say the same things to her by saying, you're better than this, Sandy. You can get out of this. So he really was a cop and he really was trying to help his girls.
So
as such.
What I wanted to emphasize here is I think that's a good little twist because, I mean, it couldn't possibly have been him because the film wanted you to believe it was him. And so I was sort of just going with that.
It was but I didn't see it coming. And the fact that they were saying even
because we should emphasize Jack takes Sandy down. He becomes her pimp, basically. He's making her have sex with all these sort of high-powered
which
men.
Which was just... I only about halfway through said, oh my God, he's a pimp. Because he's like, he's a manager first. And he takes her for an audition. Yep. And then she doesn't get what she wants. And then it's
treats
like, you
her,
got it.
Treats her like a girlfriend.
Literally, exactly. Treats her like a girlfriend. And then throws her to these like asshole dudes. And I'm like, is that how the sex... I'm just so... Is that how pimps happen? I guess it is. The whole point is this glitzy glamour 60s era... It's a grisly look at that, although not initially. You know what I mean?
Seedy, dark underbelly of London.
Oh, horrible. It's like it's creepy like an English thriller.
It's almost like a love letter to London, but also being fair in that love letter going, yeah, but you've got some problems, London.
Oh, no. It was, look, any period in time, including now, has its underbelly.
Of course.
Probably less so now, to be honest with you.
I don't know about that.
Man, try getting away with shit that you could back then now. Forget about it. It's harder.
Seedy underbelly.
Yeah, okay.
We're not in the seedy underbelly, but still, yeah, I guess that was interesting. What I found stupid about that is, so Terrence Stamp's character, I can't remember what his name is, he, in the middle of sort of, gets a bit riled up and emotional when she's sort of confronting him, thinking he is the murderer.
Yeah.
He steps out into traffic, which they always set up a couple of times when she does it through the course of the film.
Yeah.
Gets hit by a black cab and killed.
Yeah.
There's no way she gets to walk away from that and just continue about her day after that happens.
I don't know. He walked into the road by himself. He was turning around and stopped in the middle of it. So anyone could be talking to someone.
There's just no way she's not a material witness and they're much more heavily involved than just... She just walks away. Okay, cool. No worries.
Well,
Didn't appreciate that very much.
I understand. Look, there's about two things in the movie that didn't work for me. That one didn't bump into it so much, but it was all right. Yeah, I get it being one of them. The other thing is, and again, if you're listening and you really don't care about spoilers...
No, we've already said spoilers.
Okay, but this is a real spoiler. You find out at the end... they're all real spoilers, I know. But like this one is like the thing of the movie, right? You find out at the end, you are thinking... At the one stage, Eloise...
Yep.
Actually has this vision where she is in the vision, and that's how this works, of Sandy in the bed getting nailed by Matt Smith, and he pulls out a knife and starts stabbing her and kills her, and she's, oh my God, oh my God. Then you find out later on that the woman who she's renting the fucking apartment from is Sandy, grown up, and what actually happened was she started killing all the Johns.
Yep.
Sandy is a killer.
Which is why we've been seeing all these sort of grey-faced sort of spirits
dudes
chasing
who
her around.
We think are actually like, bad guys, but in fact they were the victims of Sandy. Yeah. And again, you're arguing now, but they were fucking Johns. And it's like, yeah, well, they probably didn't, they probably shouldn't have all gotten killed. That's probably worse than just being a John. You know what I mean? I don't know. What do you think?
Well... We could be a little bit careful here, but if you're the kind of person who pays for sex, I mean, the assumption is that person is okay to be there.
Exactly. The person is providing
the
service voluntarily.
You can't pay for what's not consensual.
Right. So hence, they're actually not doing evil.
Paying for something when it's non-consensual doesn't make it okay, is what I'm trying to say.
To kill you, exactly.
But therefore, theoretically at least, these guys thought, I'm going to go home and not go home. I'm going to sleep with this woman and then go home.
I'll make it
not good people, don't get me wrong.
No, not good people. But
don't deserve to die.
But she's also not good people by killing all of them.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? She's a mass murderer, so that's probably worse. Mm. So that
serial killer, I think.
Exactly. Yep. A serial killer, exactly. So that's what you find out. Now, if that were the case at the end, why did Ellie see a vision of her getting killed? Why? What exactly is the validity of her vision?
Exactly.
Visions?
It just doesn't really hold up. Like,
that is the only problem with the film.
Why would she see it that way?
Yeah. Does she now only see what she wants to see? But then why did she see the bad things?
Yeah. So Sandy doesn't know she's there.
No.
Like, although a couple of times they imply that maybe she has a sense of that. Right?
Exactly.
This is what I'm talking about with the writing. So
it always
the Terrence Stamp one was little. This was another bit. And then another thing that's really important is then Miss Collins, Diana Rigg, the Sandy grown up, basically poisons her.
Right.
Goes nowhere.
All right, so that bit there, poisons her at the end, fine. Now, maybe what happened was she told her too soon and she stopped drinking too soon. If she had finished the entire cup, she might have been more poisoned to the point where she was...
Why did she tell her then? That's dumb.
Well, what was...
I'm going to kill you.
Oh, no, that was the villain reveal moment, but...
Yeah, but still, you wouldn't... You know what I'm saying? I know you've only had three mouthfuls and that's not going to do anything to you, including not even slow her down because she escaped from a fire.
Yeah, and later on they clearly pumped her stomach or something and she's fine. Do you know what I mean? And it's
but
like,
that's fine later, but like what kind of poison is it that you I can tell you I've poisoned
you? Can shake off. You can shake
I can
it
shake
off.
It off, I can run around, I can rescue my stabbed boyfriend and or sort of pseudo boyfriend and that's all no worries. Like it's that's bad writing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what you'd have to then assume she used some sort of, I don't know, the poison was expired or some, she made some mistake but where the dosage wasn't the same.
Not,
I know,
you know what I mean?
I know.
It's, as I said, it's
well, to be
writing.
Fair, she usually kills people with knives. So this is might be a new thing for her.
I'm not going to do you the way I've done those men because you don't deserve that. All right. But whatever way you're going to kill someone, you're going to make...
still killing her.
Yeah, and she's not a... This is clearly a serial killer
who
has no
compunction. Thought about it. Yeah. She's thought about it, exactly. Yeah, you're right. So a couple of things don't work about it.
But you're right, exactly. How did it come to that she saw this? Because my take on this was the ghosts were giving her these visions, right?
Oh, and that's why they all clamored for her at the end. I thought it was just her gift that allowed her to see this.
But both. Either way,
yeah,
it doesn't work that... It allows me to see the reality of things to a point, and then it changes to this fictional narrative.
Yeah, that's the problem. You're either seeing it.
Why would the ghosts give her the wrong message?
Yes, right? That doesn't work.
And if it is her skill, her vision of seeing the past, her
then why would her vision fail her only on that moment? Yeah. See, that doesn't work, and that's the problem with this show.
Yeah.
And again, I'm going to forgive it because
everything else got you going.
Yeah, he's so enthusiastic about it. You can tell how much he cares about it, and frankly, I agree. I care about it because he cares about it because it was executed well. So that's why I'm giving it a good score.
I like the guy who has an interest in her. I thought he was really nice.
Yep.
But also way too desperate because I'm pretty sure there were a whole bunch of other women at the London or girls at the London Fashion Arts, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Of course, he would have put out and he's chasing around. And when she almost stabs a chick in the face.
That was like.
Again, no consequence for this.
Yeah, I know. Well, she runs away and says, bloody hell, and then she goes and tells. She would say, like, this girl just tried to kill me and everyone saw.
Yeah, I could tell you what would happen at a university at that particular point in time.
Sort of gig.
That person would be apprehended by security
and
they would be shunted off to hospital immediately. So, again, it's
that's going to throw you off. As a guy who personally knows what would happen there because it's your gig.
Yes.
Yeah, that would actually put me off too if I saw something.
So always it's a bit, but anyway, back to the young fella. He is one of the young kids in Attack the Block.
Is he?
Yeah, he's Mayhem from Attack the Block.
Oh shit! I didn't know that.
It's only his second acting role.
Well, let's hope he gets a few more gigs. Eh? Yeah,
I really liked his character, even though he was underdeveloped. I thought like he genuinely cares about her and he's doing all the right things in this sort of world. So the film did a good job. When he stabbed him, I thought, I felt bad for this kid.
Yeah,
he's gonna die. But then they didn't. We wussed out on it.
But at least he got stabbed, Paul.
Because I think. And here's my controversial hot take on this particular film, and indeed Edgar Wright's career. I don't think Edgar Wright, when he took him away from Simon Pegg, writes endings particularly well.
Interesting.
I don't think Baby Driver ended. That's the worst part about Baby Driver. And here we are again, basically saying the same thing. The worst part of this movie is the end.
Yeah, I think I had an issue with Diana. Okay, so let's say, Paul, you're a spry, I don't know, 18, 19-year-old fella, right?
Oops, yep.
And some presumably towards their 70s kind of lady starts to attack you with a scissors or whatever. I reckon you're fine, mate.
I don't think he saw it coming though, did he?
He didn't, but like if an old woman all of a sudden lunges at you.
I'll tell you the number of times an old woman's tried to stab me, Wayne. Zero.
Well, I wish I could say the same ball, but.
Okay, the hell of a drug.
I'm sorry, your reflexes, especially Paul's, are gonna get there first. If she goes, ah, and you're like, whoa, what the hell? You'll move at least, man. You won't just get railed in the stomach like that. Like, anyway, I had a little problem with that. And if she did, like, how hard is she would have to really drive that thing home to go through you like that? Like,
dress cutting scissors or whatever else.
Eh,
I had no problem with her stabbing it because he wasn't expecting it. And at no point did we think she was.
I suppose. Yeah, okay, all right.
So he's like, where is she? Where is she? You know, that's fair.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough. Okay, well, I think, like I said, I just liked it enough, despite its shortcomings, to walk out of there going, good. But it's probably got enough shortcomings that this is not going to work. Like, as a commercial thing.
Not,
I don't know.
Not going to work? I don't
Sorry,
know.
It's. I don't think not enough
gonna
people are going to like it. Yeah. Although it's got good ratings and stuff like that. It could be
solid
one of those
ratings.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a solid rating for me too. So
me too.
I'll go first because clearly you're going to score it higher. My final thought is... It's a good film. It's worth seeing. It has its problems, so it's nowhere near Edgar Wright's best. And I'm going to score this as a 68.
Oh, we're not too far. I'm 73.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd be way higher than that, the way you said. I love this movie.
I did love it, but like it had too many problems. Look, you know what? If it was 20 minutes shorter in the 80s.
Okay.
20 minutes shorter in the 80s. It did have that pitchy moment in Act 3.
So here you are, filmmakers out there. If you want 80s in Wayne's book, it must be 100 minutes or shorter your film.
Well, we all have things to do, everyone, okay? And in our case, we were waiting around for it to end so we could get a 9 o'clock table for dinner. So me and Paul saw this together with a couple of other boys on a mandate. All right?
It was. quite the mandate.
So you were like, you're hungry and you want to get out. So it had to be 20 minutes shorter, right?
Yeah, just no popcorn because I was saving it for dinner.
That's right. Yeah. No popcorn. Yeah.
Damn. All right. Well, that's our take on Last Night in Soho. Edgar Wright's letters. Do check it out. Let us know once you have what you thought of the film via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show through Podbean where we host. And check out the Facebook list community. Links in the show notes for discussions around, well, this film and all films and TV and all that kind of shit with a bunch of great, great folk. And that's it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
What? No.
That's the reaction you have when you realize George Harrison didn't sing the original I Got My Mind Set On You.
I know. I saw that movie as well. I was like, wait, this is an old song?
I had no idea.
I thought it happened in the fucking 80s as well.
I thought you were going to laugh at me then and go, of course, Paul, you
no,
dickhead.
No, I didn't know either, man. There you go.
There we are. All right. We'll catch you next time. See you.